"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. Today.
Yeah, it's too hot. Let's go home. Have a good day.
Our air conditioning is working, so.
Take me to a cooling center. Yeah, but you still have to go outside every now and then for something. We're under a flex alert. We were just talking about this yesterday when we were talking about Diablo Canyon, the nuclear power plant that they apparently want to keep open for another 10 years. They were going to close it in 2025, but now there's a bill they're trying to fast track. I think the legislature actually exits at the end of the week or next week to keep it open till 2035. And that led us to a discussion of the state's power supply, which back in 2020, there was some little blackouts that went on. And then in 2021, they were right on the edge in some of the warmer days in the summer. So we're back to this because I had said, oh, we really didn't have many this year. And you said, well, it's still early. You know, there's still hot days to come.
Well, the hottest days, the hottest time of the year is yet to come. But this is an example of the gross mismanagement by Newsom and the legislature. They should have enough power available for the hottest days of the year. They shouldn't go through these stupid alerts, and they shouldn't be going through any kind of shortages and scares, because you just simply build the infrastructure to make the power, period.
Right, but that mismanagement, I don't think, is the correct word. The agenda is to get California full of alternative energies.
Except
by the year like 2040 or 2050. Exactly right. It's not working.
It doesn't work.
Isn't enough.
So that's mismanagement.
Of the alternative energy sources, such as solar or wind. But they don't really want to talk about that. Instead, they try to cover with these flex alerts to say, oh, well, voluntarily cut back and we'll make sure that we'll protect the grid, is the term.
Well, when you have a plan and you try the plan out to the fullest extent you can, and it clearly fails, then you change the plan. You don't keep doing the thing that fails, and this thing fails every year. Every year, it's the same story.
But that was the point of what we were talking about yesterday. They're going to keep the natural gas plants open, and they're going to keep the nuclear power plant at San Diablo open, Diablo Canyon, I should say, because of that. I think it's a little late in the game, but those are the moves they're making to try to make sure that nothing severe happens. I mean, we haven't had a severe blackout in the state.
Because
it was a very moderate one a couple of years ago. They hit just a couple of communities.
Because they restarted the natural gas plants, because they didn't shut down the nuclear plant, because they stole power that was being transferred from the Pacific Northwest to Arizona. They actually intercepted the power and prevented Arizona from claiming it, even though they paid for it. So they took all kinds of emergency actions to stave off the blackout, because Newsom is more scared of that than anything. But the bottom line is, he's handling this very badly. The whole concept is stupid. It's just flat out stupid. And
this is the
every year he goes into these emergency maneuvers.
It's important that you listen to this show. It's the only place you're going to hear this. When you turn on all the news stations last night and today, the message is just coming from the power grid officials. We got a flex alert. It's never explained why. We're doing that right now.
And they turn this...
Because you might say to yourself, yeah, it seems to be more of these in recent years. Well, that's because they're moving more and more and more towards alternative energy sources, which are not going to be enough for a state that's 40 million people.
No, and they have all these solemn, noble announcements, and they try to get you on the team and be a good citizen and, you know, obey the government and all. And they don't... Everybody ought to be questioning the management of this state. And we've been telling you about this for many years, going way back into the Jerry Brown administration. This is a terrible plan, and we're right, and they're proving us right every year. There should never be a flex alert. There should never be a shortage. We should never be close to a shortage. They should have nuclear plants built. They ought to have more natural gas plants built. They've done everything they could with this wind and solar, but the wind doesn't always blow, the sun doesn't shine 24 hours a day, and the battery storage industry is in its embryonic stages. They have very little battery storage, which is where they claim someday they're going to be able to store solar and wind power and keep it overnight, keep it long term. Well, you know, we'll have a big party when that happens. It hasn't happened. They don't have the storage. They don't have the wind and solar. And so what? Now it's every summer it's emergency, and every summer after all the taxes you paid, think about all the taxes you paid and all the money they have $100 billion plus surplus, and they're still saying, oh, we're going to be short of power. Are you kidding? That's insane.
And let's not forget the other factor. We have the highest electricity rates by far in the nation.
So
because we're paying for this, alternative energy sources are more expensive. I forget how much they are. I think they're inching towards 30-40% of the power supply in the state. But these are the consequences. You're going to have to pay a lot more, and you're going to risk outages.
But if
the only place this is happening outside of California, and this just started in the last year or two, is Texas.
Yeah.
And we talked about Texas. They kind of did the same thing. They took advantage of all sorts of federal credits to try to build an infrastructure of alternative energy, but they're having the same problems we are. Sometimes on a hot, really hot summer days, it's not enough.
It doesn't work. And I have no idea why they're even worse than California with their politics in Texas, but it just shows you this is a
disease.
And we're
the two states with really almost the most sun. Think about it, you know?
I know.
And maybe Hawaii, but Hawaii gets a lot of clouds and little rains here and there. But
this is basic incompetence that infects both parties. You know, everybody jumping on some trendy bandwagon. Nobody stops to see, hey, does this work? It's just actually practical in the real world. And Texas is even worse because they have isolated themselves from the rest of the national grid. So they can't even buy or steal power from other states. No, whatever they make in Texas is all they've got. They don't have connections to take power from the rest of the country, which is preposterously stupid. And I'm just shocked at the way these stupid governments manage the energy, because really we could make endless amounts of energy. There's no limit to how much energy we can create from all the sources, right? We have huge natural gas, oil, coal deposits. We could build plenty of nuclear power. We could build more hydroelectric power. We've got all this stuff. We got the wind and the solar. How do we possibly go short? And if we're paying the highest rates in the state, at least can't we get the power? You're telling me we're paying the highest rates and then you're out of stock? How's that? It's one thing if we were paying cheap rates and it's like, oh, you don't pay enough. You know, there isn't enough product made. Okay, we're paying the highest rates. You should have so much excess power available. It's not even funny.
So they're asking people, of course, the usual things about using less power between 4 and 9 p.m. But I got something last night I've never gotten before from SoCal Edison. It's a Saver Rewards event called for today between 4 and 9 p.m. The Power Saver Rewards Program. If you volunteer to conserve energy, you can earn $2 for each kilowatt hour of energy you save during the Power Saver Rewards event this summer. It almost sounds like it's a store sale.
How much can you make?
Well, it says here, a typical customer who lowers energy usage during 8 events over an annual season could earn, are you ready? $40 in bill credits. 8 events, so that's $5 an event. Okay.
Great.
I'm not going to get rich.
Great. That won't even buy dinner for two anymore anyway.
It'll only come at the beginning. The annual bill credits will come at the start of each year for compensation for the previous year's power savings.
You know what? What's preposterous is they want you not to use the energy when you most need the energy, which is why you're paying taxes. So at least the energy is available when you need it. You don't need it at 2 a.m.
But between 4 and 9 is when everybody's home and doing stuff like cooking dinner or doing laundry.
That's my point. Well, that's when
all the appliances and...
That's when we need it. So the government's job is to supply it. That's their job. That's what we're paying for. They're incompetent. If they can't supply enough between 4 and 9, they should be chased out of office. Everybody in the energy sector and government ought to be fired. That's just a huge failure.
Now, last year, they did this a few times, and then they thanked everybody the next day. You conserved just enough to keep the power on in California.
No, no. It's not our responsibility. It's their responsibility. They're always trying to say it's our fault. No, we paid the taxes for these energy plants to be built and managed. We paid it. And now they're reneging on what they promised. When we pay taxes, the implicit promise is, okay, we'll build the facilities for you, no problem.
Right. Because one thing we're looking at now that's a little different is Newsom wants to be president. The one thing he doesn't want is any power blackouts to make things look bad for him. So they're going to push really hard. They'll steal more power if they have to from other states.
Right. So only him tending to his ego is keeping us from a blackout happening. Just his worries that he will not be president someday, and then his lifelong ambition will go up in flames.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, day after tomorrow, the Moist Line is back. So it's a quick reminder: you can use the iHeartRadio app to leave a message with the microphone icon being the way to do it, or call the toll free number. It's been there for years. It's called the Moist Line because Moist is in the phone number 1-877-MOIST-86 1-877-664-7886. Because of the flex alert after 4 o'clock, we're going to power down Deborah Mark a little bit so that we can help save energy.
We're going to pull her plug.
If you notice, she's pretty hyper when she speaks fast. It takes up a lot of energy on the grid.
And you're going to have to read in the dark.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe I'll just call it a day. And you guys can do the news.
You know, I'd love to. Yesterday you were yawning at 2:15.
I know.
We'd exhausted you in 15 minutes yesterday. Which is a new record.
Well, she had a tough commute, remember?
I did. Yes.
No fires today? You guys got in okay? We're okay?
No fires on our commute, at
least. What? The homeless are burning down the 134. Two fires. 1 week.
Two fires. Did you confirm yesterday it was a homeless fire? I know the one on Friday was a brush fire, but I didn't know if it was homeless. And then yesterday,
they're all homeless fires.
I see. They jumped to conclusions, Cobill.
Well, what else would it be?
Well, there are other fires. I'm sorry. There are homeless encampments.
Next to a freeway? Underneath a freeway?
Is that where it was? Because you didn't confirm that either.
The freeways don't just spontaneously combust.
The freeway was burning. It was like a house down the street.
No, it wasn't a house. It was the brush around the freeway.
Sometimes people throw a cigarette out the window as they're driving.
No.
That happened. They used to happen a lot, actually.
Nearly all the time, it's homeless people having lunch.
I remember the guy with the garbage that imploded with the garbage can. I guess some garbage fell out of the truck and it caught fire. That was a terrible one.
That was a hot day.
There's all sorts of wild crime that now happens in Southern California. This one's pretty good, though. Apparently, and you two probably know this area better, the Universal City Overlook, which apparently is on Mulholland Drive and has big views of the San Fernando Valley to the north. They've ever been up there and taken a look at that particular overlook?
That's
closer to John Cobalt's old house.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah. Well, apparently they had to come. A fire rescue truck came to get something from the hillside. It was a 4.5-foot, 600-pound steel safe that they pulled out of the brush. Not only that, they pulled a smaller safe out of the brush. It took 3 hours. I don't know who saw it. I guess somebody saw it and reported it, thought it might be suspicious. So the fire rescue team came and they had to, you know, make their way down the hillside.
They rescued two safes?
Well, it could have been a robbery. It could be somebody's important stuff in there. The only thing we learned since this happened is the smaller safe was empty, but they're not saying yet was what was in the large safe. And the possibilities include the fact that this could have been somebody who, broke into a home and decided just to either didn't get into the safe or tried to get into the safe and then just dumped it down the hillside as they ran off. Because you don't want to be carting that around if it's not worth anything. They have a team of professional safe crackers who are working on the large safe today. And I guess they don't know who it belongs to. Nobody's called the police to report I lost my safe.
There could be bad stuff in the safe.
A 600-pound safe. Yeah, you're right. You have to be careful too when you open it.
if you haven't reported your missing safe, it means you don't want to.
Yeah, people still use good old-fashioned safes in the house.
No, they do work. Yeah. Well, you know, unless they come in and take the whole safe,
or they come in and put a gun to your head and tell you to open the safe.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise.
Yeah. So, maybe we'll find out what's in it later on. And another unusual situation happened up in Northern California. A police chase ensued. It was a wild ride. It was a van that they were chasing. And apparently the reason they realized that this was a situation they had to get a hold of is the driver apparently rammed into an advertisement sign on the side of the road and then took off. So the local sheriff's department, this is in Riverdale, California, decided to give chase. And eventually the van came to a stop thanks to a spike strip. It hit speeds over 70 miles an hour, drove recklessly on the wrong side of the road. And when they finally caught the driver, it was a 12-year-old. He took the family van for a joyride. I know kids get bored during the summer, but...
Yeah. I'm sure that's a tight-knit family.
They thought they were chasing an adult because it turns out he's 5'8", 180 pounds.
Oh, my God.
That's sizable for a 12-year-old.
For a 12-year-old?
Yeah, he should be a football player
or
something.
Wow.
Now, well,
somebody's getting
farm
overfed.
Country.
Somebody's getting way overfed there.
And apparently, he said, this kid was doing quite the job avoiding the spike strips. We put numerous ones out, and he kept avoiding them. We couldn't believe that it was a 12-year-old when we finally caught him because veteran crooks do that kind of maneuvers to get around the spike strips.
He must have driven before then.
As an officer was putting down the one spike strip, the kid almost ran him over. But then he swerved and then he hit the strip.
There's a story here.
This is 10:30 in the morning, too. This wasn't a nighttime. Yeah, I know. There's probably a story here.
There's a story. 5'8", 180.
What the? Yeah, 5'8", 180 and... having a bad, boring summer day, he decided to take the family van for a ride.
This guy might be on the way to the penitentiary, I have a feeling.
Which wouldn't have been so bad, but he just started driving recklessly. So the cops noticed him. If he was just driving the van around, nobody would have thought a thing about it.
Who even has a desire at 12 to do that? And you're really a child then.
You never wanted to operate the family car when you were like 12 years old? To just kind of...
Oh, when I was 5, I wanted to get out.
Well,
I wanted to take it down the highway.
I just meant
and never
the fascination that boys have with cars and motor vehicles.
Well, but no, it never occurred to me to go take it on a wild chase.
80 miles an hour in the family van. No. It's a van too. It's one of those old Dodge vans. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Well, what federal government agency do you think has a $12 billion budget and more than 11,000 employees? Could be a lot of them, huh? The IRS.
All
of them. How much their budget is. And it's not even called correct anymore. It's the CDCP.
Oh.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Yeah, this was great news today.
They added a P. They're going to do a reset. I looked through the articles, and it's like, oh, they're going to do a new organizational chart. An organization chart? I remember learning that when I was in college, when I took some business classes. Companies have organization charts so that employees can understand how everything flows through the company and the management and stuff
You couldn't tell in most places, though, that there is one. They do have a chart, and it's in somebody's desk, but operationally, it's not always there. You know something? The CDC finally admitted that they performed very badly through this stupid COVID panic. They admitted today that the public guidance has been confusing and overwhelming. That was in their document. Confusing and overwhelming. Of course, when we pointed this out, as along with many others, oh, you're just anti-science, aren't you? What do you know? You don't have the credentials. It's like, no, yes. I have a brain.
How dare you question the almighty agency.
That's right. Oh, yes, these are doctors. They have lots of experience in government, and they've graduated from the finest schools. Yeah, but what they're saying makes no sense, and they keep changing their minds.
And there was confusion because Fauci's not the CDC.
No.
Fauci's at the National Institutes of Health. I mean, so it was like there was messages coming from both ends, and particularly because Trump was president, he inserted himself in the middle, and things really got wild there for the first year of the pandemic until we finally got the vaccine.
And early on, I read stories about how the CDC had no capability to test for this. There was no emergency infrastructure set up. What happens if we get an unexpected pandemic, we get an unexpected virus, right, that starts spreading around? You would think that would be emergency preparedness 101, right? And they had no testing available. And the companies that were trying to come up with quick tests couldn't get approval. And so you had weeks and weeks and weeks, months went by without a coherent testing strategy. They were exceptionally slow, and it was just a lot of dull-witted bureaucratic boobs who won't make decisions because they're not confident. When you don't make a decision, it means you have no confidence that you know what you're talking about, that you know what to do.
I think we really got this message today, not only for all the things you just said, but they screwed up the monkeypox too. And the monkeypox is not new. There were vaccines. There were tests. It's been around, I think, since 1958.
Yes.
They were completely caught off guard. There's not a lot of cases, but it's still become an issue to people who are affected and they can't get the vaccine.
This is what they do, though. The only monkeypox story I see this week is, we have to change the name. We are stigmatizing monkeys.
Yeah, I know. Okay. It's all about woke.
Yeah, that's what they do. They have big conferences.
Who's being hurt? Let's be sensitive.
You know, those monkeys, they're all upset. They're depressed. They're in their cages. They're up in their trees. And they're all upset they're being blamed for the pox.
Yeah. But if I got those things growing on my face and arms, I don't care what you call it. Just help me get the vaccine or help me get something to treat this.
And they did the same thing with the virus. Remember, it was known as the Wuhan virus because that's where it came from. It came from the lab or it came from the market. It came from Wuhan. Well, you can't do that. It's stigmatizing.
It's stigmatizing. Right?
And they spend all that time having conferences and issuing resolutions about how we have to change, even though they always named outbreaks after the location where it developed. That's so that the public understands it clearly, right? You can't give it a complex scientific name or a jumble of numbers and letters. You give it something like, it's that country, that town's virus.
So this Rochelle Walensky, and wow, we played her audio from when she first took over the CDC. And remember how grim she was? This is already after we're past the worst, really, of COVID.
Didn't she say something like the walls are closing in?
Gloom, doom or something.
Yeah, yeah. She was one of these panic pushers.
Well, she said today, we want to get rid of some of the reporting layers that exist. I'd like to work to break down some of the silos. And I'm like, silos. There are silos in the way. She did not say exactly what they may entail.
There's hay in those silos.
They're full of
wheat,
bureaucratic crap.
Corn. Yeah, you open up the CDC silos, there's crops that they're storing.
And I wasn't kidding. They're going to redo the organization chart. And they're going to undo some changes made during the Trump administration, because that's what everybody's all about that's under the Biden years now. We have to undo everything that Trump did with immigration and CDC and everything. It was all completely off.
Well, everything they said early on was wrong. They weren't prepared. They closed everything down. There's no need to close everything down. We're still dealing with the repercussions and the damage from that. The only policy they had is, let's panic. You know, let's stop people from walking on the beach. Let's stop people from playing tennis. Let's stop educating kids for a year and a half. Let's shut down the supply chains and all the businesses. Let's all go broke and have the economy drop by a third. Let's destroy ourselves. That was their plan. Oh, and then remember, in 15 days, it'll all be fine. 2 weeks. We're just going to shut down for 2 weeks.
I mean, COVID wasn't a unique virus. It comes from a family of viruses. But the problem was everybody was pressuring the CDC. Give us the answers. Tell us what's going on. And so sometimes they'd put out one bit of information that was contradicted a few days later by another bit of information. Mm-hmm. It became ridiculous because the media was just pressing for anything.
They didn't want to admit they weren't prepared. See, that's the thing. They were not prepared. I think it was logical for people to turn to the CDC and say, okay, we've got a new virus. What do you do? Surely, in all these decades that you guys have been sitting in your offices, this came up as a possibility, right? You had the Spanish flu in 1918, so this has happened before. You had the Black Plague back in the Middle Ages. All right, so you know, every 100 years or 200 or 300 years, you get something crazy. What are you going to do?
And I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom.
There you go.
Yeah, impending doom.
Impending doom.
This sentence in the New York Times, I think, sums it up. Many of their experts are accustomed to conducting narrowly focused research that undergoes lengthy reviews. They're uneasy with the kind of urgent action needed to address the coronavirus and now the monkeypox outbreak. In other words, that is what they are. They're just researchers in laboratories and in offices, and they take a look back at things so they can report on them. This was happening in the moment, and it was new, and they were overwhelmed.
Right.
I had no idea what
to
say.
Which means they were the wrong people to help us. I understand doing careful research over a long period of time, so you're absolutely right. I know somebody who's a researcher, and they very much have that philosophy. You don't say anything until it's been proven.
Until you've got right, all the conclusions are lined
up, peer-reviewed and published, and then there's been rebuttal in case the publisher. You know, you go through this whole thing, and that's the way they're trained. That is great. That doesn't work when you have...
The moment didn't call for that, right?
So there's got to be another team who quickly looks at the information we have and makes reasonable decisions.
Oh, and they want to improve their public messaging. We want to put out plain language that's easy to understand, according to one of the documents concerning this reset today.
So 2.5 years? Why are they all unfamiliar with plain English language? I ask people this all the time.
Well, they're science people. They're geeks.
Right, but they started out as normal people, right? They didn't talk this way when they were 8 or 11 or 17. Everybody starts talking normal. They get processed through these universities.
Oh, yeah, because you get conditioned to believe this is the way you have to be if you want to get accepted in the profession. You have to speak the jargon.
Right.
I heard some woman on the news today, I called it realtor speak, right? They were talking about the housing market, and she just started babbling in realtor speak, all sorts of specific terms that they use in the realtor business. And I'm like, come on. That's not how people really will understand the story.
You know, a lot of that is ego. They want to think that they're special, their industry is special, they have special knowledge. And so they come up with jargon that the outside world doesn't understand, and they like that. They like you feeling that you're stupid and they're special and educated. Tech people are like that all the time, right? They all sound like Gavin Newsom, who's a wannabe tech geek. He doesn't know anything, but he talks like one. I remember educators, people in the education industry. They also have their own strange language, and you can't get a straight answer out of anybody.
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, I don't know if you would call it a victory lap, but the L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon is going on some of the news stations in town to talk about beating back the recall. He didn't beat it back. It looks like the signature collecting, well, there were some problems with it. Anyway, you're going to love the one-minute piece of audio we're going to play because, as you know, overwhelmingly, in an internal vote, his deputy DAs said, we want this guy out. Well, he tries to explain that particular fact coming up after 3.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, We got a piece of audio to play for you. Fox 11 this morning. George Gascon made an appearance, the LA County DA, fresh off the fact that he's not going to be on the ballot for a recall anytime soon. But you got to hear one clip, about a minute. It's worth it. Tells you all you need to know about this obnoxious person who really believes he's changing the world for the better. Well, also, this is a bit of a surprise because the person's sort of half right. We'll talk about an El Segundo Times columnist that we have repeatedly badgered and pilloried
mocked
over the years.
Mocked and ridiculed.
Who's at least half right in writing about the Gascon situation. That'll come up after the news at 3 o'clock. We don't talk about Ukraine much anymore. The one development there that's worth noting in the Russia invasion of Ukraine is that Ukraine apparently is striking inside Crimea. Now, Crimea is Russian-occupied and has been since, I think it was 2014 when they invaded Crimea.
Yeah.
It's another region that they took from the country, and most believe that was Putin's first salvo in an effort to take back the entire country. So to show you that, I guess, the Ukrainians are feeling a little bit confident, they're hitting the Russians in Crimea, and they've not been particularly ready for this. So whatever military they've got has been stretched and trying to take the rest of the country. So they've probably been taking Crimea a bit for granted. So some of these strikes have done some damage to Russian forces inside Ukraine. The other story, well, in general, it's not good to be an opponent of Vladimir Putin. I guess you might, for lack of a better word, call them dissidents. Today, in Washington, D.C., a well-known businessman who has been in exile after criticizing Vladimir Putin was found dead outside his apartment building in an upscale neighborhood in Washington, D.C.
Did he get the umbrella?
Well, there's a bit of a mystery to it.
His name is Dan... a poison drink?
The official, not official, because it's not official yet. Right now, the word is it might be a suicide. But his widow says no way.
Yeah, it might be a suicide.
Like Dan Rappaport. That doesn't sound like a Russian name.
Like Jeffrey Epstein was a suicide. One of those.
He was discovered lying on the sidewalk outside these apartments in the Georgetown neighborhood. Yeah, Georgetown's a nice area. They responded to a call that someone said there was a jumper. So while they have not officially ruled out anything, they're not saying that it looks to be a suicide at this point. For Deborah Mark, they found his little dog, Boy, in a park nearby, still with the leash, apparently. So I don't understand. If he jumped from the building, how did the dog get out with the leash walking around in the nearby park?
And why did he even bring the dog with him?
Right, but I'm saying, did he take the dog outside, then he went all the way up to the top of the building and jumped? It doesn't make sense to me.
Because it's a fake story, that's why. Because
well, there was a suicide
him.
Note and cash, which could have been planted.
Anybody could write that.
Oh, I bet I know. I bet he took the dog out, left the leash on, because he knew what he was going to do and wanted somebody to find
him.
The dog.
Yeah, it's a cute little mix named Boy.
But at least he didn't jump with the dog.
No,
I don't believe it. You're a rebel against Vladimir Putin, and you end up committing suicide.
Yeah,
that's too much.
The man was an investment banker and former co-owner of a popular Moscow nightclub called Soho Rooms, but he left the country some years ago because of his problems with the direction of the government. They're saying that he had more than $2,600 in cash, a broken cell phone, and a cracked headphone. They said all of those items were found near the scene where the body was found. They say that in the months leading up to his death, he was allegedly locked in a feud with a Russian venture capital firm, which was trying to cheat him out of $10,000, he claimed in a message to a friend.
Well, maybe they greased his exit.
He was born in Latvia.
This guy's created a lot of trouble in life, hasn't he?
Yeah. But he ended up going to the University of Houston. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, he moved to Russia and he became an investment banker. Yeah, there's quite some swanky pictures of him, so it's not really clear. But he left Russia in 2012 because he supported that Alexei Navalny.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
The guy that got poisoned.
Exactly. So,
I know.
So he's got some weird business with an investment company. He's a public enemy of Putin, and he ends up killing himself with his dog running around in the park.
Yeah. He bought a nice house in a section of D.C., and in 2016, oh, here's a good twist, he sold the property to Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump.
Yeah.
Look at that. See, the Trumps are always connected to the Russians, aren't they?
Jared Kushner is a real questionable guy.
He's an operator, I know.
No, he's really sketchy. And his dad was,
did you see that
too.
Story that he could have been the source? He got the FBI to raid Mar-a-Lago? Did you see that? Some people think he might have been there.
Yeah, he's got a really shady aura about him.
He looks kind of Weasley, yeah.
Oh, no, he's definitely Weasley. His dad was in jail for some kind of financial crime.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, Christie put him in jail.
All right, when we come back.
And Ivanka marries him because that's all she's known all her life.
Is known what? Him?
Just shady business people.
Oh, I see. I wonder why that's so. All right, the L.A. County D.A. George Gascon appeared on Fox 11. I guess one of the questions he was asked is, a lot of your employees, your deputy DAs, did not support you. We think you'll love his answer coming up.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. today.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.